joining you on the radio, Richard Thomas from wormlovers.com.au. That always sounds slightly pornographic, I have to say.
Yes, yeah. It does. Slightly kinky.
It does. Well, worms are pretty something kinky. To do with guts or something. Yeah. Jules is looking at me going, what? It's a bit weird. But ecology is such an interesting concept, isn't it?
It is.
It's one of those subjects at school that kind of, I don't know, geography, ecology, it kind of passed me by. And as I get older, I realise how important it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think ecology, that was the word, was coined by Ernst Haeckel, who was a biologist in the 19th century. And it's really interesting because it's the study of the connections between all the various elements within an ecosystem. And then you have interconnecting ecosystems, like the, you know, ecosystem of a waterway will connect with the ecosystem of the soil ecology connects with plant ecology, and on it goes. So it's all connected.
And, you know, we were talking about soil this morning. We managed to hook up with Dr. Mike Grundy, who's the Chief Research Scientist with the CSIRO. He's the leader of the Soil and Landscape Program. Because we've had lots of calls about whether or not the quality of the soil affects the nutrients in food.
Yes.
So we're on a little bit of a quest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's no real data about the current nutrients in food.
That's right.
And in Adelaide, they've done some research about the soil, but they haven't really been able to put it to. But what he did say was that our soil is actually not as good as we thunk it was.
That's right. And also because most of our industrial food production uses a lot of fertilisers and chemicals. So there's, nitrate. Typically, we all know plants need nitrogen to grow. So when you get enough nitrogen into the soil, plants will grow, but they may not be able to, they may not contain all the other nutrients, the micronutrients, the minerals and so on, that are in the soil, or they may not be in the soil.
They may not be in the soil. Yeah. So how come our soil isn't as good as other people's soil, from your understanding?
Well, my understanding is we're the oldest bit of land on Earth. I think the McDonald Range is out near Alice Springs. We're the first bit of land to pop out of the primordial sea, you know, a couple of billion years ago.
Oh, yeah, then.
And so that was that's the oldest mountain range in the world. It used to be the size of the Himalayas, but everything's been worn down over, you know, hundreds of millions of years. And on the mainland, we didn't really have any glaciation. So that glaciation basically grinds all these minerals out of the rock and then leaves them in the soil.
Yeah. And we haven't got that. So we've still got the same earth.
Yeah. And then the other part of the equation is, of course, we're the driest continent. So you need water, you need moisture to build up your soil profile. If there's no water, you get very little biology happening in the soil, which is where the worms come in.
Right.
Yes.
Come on, man. Tell us about the worms. Are they comfortable?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Great.
So how do the worms help?
Yes. Well, if you go back, I think it's about the Carboniferous period, when the whole planet was actually a lot warmer, and we had these vast forests all over the planet. From there onwards, there was an evolution of the soil, this huge build-up of carbon matter as these primitive trees broke down. You had this enormous load of organic matter as the trees died, and fungus, and then later on worms evolved, and a whole bunch of soil microorganisms evolved to use the nutrients in that waste material from the plants. So it's all sort of happened from there. And so plants and soil really evolved symbiotically, because plants when they die, they fall to the ground, and then they provide nutrients for all the bugs in the soil.
Mm.
And then those bugs cycle those nutrients back into the plant. So it's another example of a circular system, which all nature is these cycles. We talk a lot in Worm Lovers about the nutrient cycle. So we don't actually talk about worm farms as waste management. We talk about it as
cycling nutrients.
And it's a perpetual cycle. So it's an endless cycle that you can keep going indefinitely.
So can you fix your soil with worms? Because what Mike Grundy was saying, and he's doing his talk on Friday night if anyone's interested in soil, but he was saying that the first thing that any farmer, and I would imagine anyone who wants to grow stuff, has to do with their soil is fix it.
That's right, yeah. And I think, yeah, that's right. And certainly not degrade the soil, which is what we're doing with a lot of our industrial agriculture processes, where we're using a lot of nitrates, we're over-tilling, we're losing that carbon material. In the soil. And I think the key to going back to your question is the key is organic matter. So you've got to get organic matter into the soil to have healthy soil.
So how do the worms do that?
Well, the worms, basically, if you haven't got organic matter, you're not going to have worms. And yeah. If you haven't got enough moisture in, they all sort of go together, all of these things.
So worms,
it's quite holistic.
Eat the compost and they make worm juice.
The worms eat up all the organic matter and they literally turn it into soil.
Oh, okay.
So soil is actually created by – the difference between dirt and soil is dirt is just the dusty stuff that you might get out in the desert. There's very little life in it. Soil is alive. So it's got all this incredible complex ecosystem that's full of bacteria. And the worms are kind of like the apex species within the soil ecology. So, worms really play a similar role to bees in the soil. They're the kind of the key
enablers.
Enablers. Very good. Yeah, that's right. So they all go together: organic matter, moisture, soil, nutrient cycling, worms. It's kind of like a big soup of these different elements.
We've got a statewide weather forecast coming up in about 24 minutes. If you would like to know what's going on in your neck of the woods in terms of the weather, if you can't wait, if you're too impatient, jump onto the ABC Radio Melbourne website and there's a weather portal you can look at there. Richard Thomas is your guest on the radio. He is from wormlovers.com.au. And this morning, an opportunity for you to make your worm farm even better. And if you haven't been inspired to get into it yet, today's the day to start. 1-300-222-774. Maybe you're particularly proud of your worms, and maybe your compost is just to die for. Maybe you have a story or an anecdote as to how the worm juice has transformed your garden. Richard is here to take your calls about your worms, but we're going to kick it off with Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, Libby.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, Richard.
Your question, please.
I'm a farmer in central Victoria.
Great.
Right.
We've got broadacre farming. We graze sheep. And we're on granite soils. They are acidic. But it's one paddock that I would like to talk to you about in terms of how I can create a system in place to spread over the whole farm. Mm. This paddock, we sowed it down to some barley this year and last year with very poor results in terms of just what what growth we got from it. I've done soil testing, but even we had our local Best Lamb group come out and we mulled over the paddock. One of the other farmers was digging into the soil and there was very little biological activity, no worms. Mm. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are in terms of whether there's something that I should be applying to increase the the biological activity.
How do you make your soil more attractive to worms, Richard?
That's right. And how do I get them there too?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, look, that is a really great to talk to you, Rebecca, because that is
question.
That is a really big question, I think I get a lot of people calling and they want to get worms and buy them and put them in their garden, but where the worms that we breed are compost worms, so they're not going to work. They eat large amounts of organic matter. They need a very rich environment to survive. So they're not the worms you want. You want, I think there's brown worms. There's a whole range of agricultural worms that are suitable for agricultural soils. And there've been a lot of, work over the years of inoculating your soil with worms. Now, I'm not an expert in that area, so I can't give you the species, but I think if you go to the CSIRO, there's a lot of work that's been done on that.
You need to send an email to Dr. Mike Grundy.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he's doing a talk on Friday night if you're in town.
Okay, I might have to go. I'm sitting in the ute at the moment.
Oh, well.
Checking on sheep, and I don't know if I've got a pen and paper.
It's called the GW Leaper, LEEPER Memorial Lecture, and he's Grundy, as in Reg Grundy Productions, Sale of the Century.
Yes,
Mike
sure.
Grundy, and he's the chief research scientist, and the whole lecture is called A National Soil Outlook.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that sounds great. Thank you.
Fantastic.
And I'll contact the CSIRO as well.
Yeah, do that.
Definitely, because there's been some studies done and there's a guy in, I believe, in northern Tasmania that's been doing this for years, inoculating his soils and getting fantastic results. But in terms of your particular soil, the other thing to keep in mind is that if the conditions are not favourable for the worms, they're not going to survive there. So you probably need to look at getting some more organic matter into the soil. And, you know, if your soil is, you know, if it's very, doesn't have a lot of moisture in it, like it's very sandy, for instance, you're going to struggle to keep the worms there. So it's about build, you know, it's kind of you've got to come at it from different angles. But yeah, I don't know if you've got any access to any organic matter or compost that you can put into the soil, because the worms really need that. You've got to do come at it from different points of view at the same time.
Yeah. I have to wish you luck in that journey and hope that it all works out for you, Rebecca. Mm. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
See you. Mary is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Libby.
Good morning.
I've got one of those round, you know, chambered little tiny worm farms.
Yep.
And there's two things I want to ask. Can I put the casting straight on and dig it into the soil? Oh. And the second question is, I've got all the worms up the top and they're all in big clumps.
Mm.
And every time I open it, and I don't know as a single person if I'm giving them enough food, because I, you know, a lot of the stuff I put in, I can't just put it in just great lumps of potatoes and things like that.
Mm.
So what could I feed them in the interim if I haven't got enough? And what do you suggest? Because I can't just put clumps and clumps of all my veggies and stuff in there. And, you know, can I? And just have it sitting there. It doesn't seem to be reducing quickly enough.
Yeah, well, first of all, the smaller the particles of food, yep, the quicker it'll, yep, break down. So if you chop, yep, it up, it's going to break down quicker.
Yep, sure.
And secondly, different veggies and different organic material breaks down at different rates. So,
yep,
if,
yep,
you put a lettuce leaf and some shredded newspaper in there, it's gone in no time. But if you put, okay, a cabbage in there, yeah, it could be there weeks later. So keep that in mind. So,
all right.
Yeah. And so chop everything up. In terms, yep, of the amount that you're feeding them, the worm population will actually adjust to the amount of feed that's going in there. So if there's not enough food going in there, they will stop breeding up. So they're quite clever in that sense. They don't, they kind of work within the constraints of their environment, which humans probably should be thinking about doing that as well. But yeah.
Good luck with that, Mary. Thank you very much for your call. I am going to take this call now. Where is it? Oh, there it is, number 5. Morning to you, Michael.
Oh, g'day. Thanks, guys, for the conversation. Two questions. I don't know whether you're allowed to say this, Richard, on ABC, but do you have a recommendation for a worm farm on the western side of a house in a shaded area that's cool?
That's not what it said you were going to ask, Michael.
And second question is, what do you do with a worm farm when you go away in January for 3 weeks?
Okay, let's start with that one and then we'll go backwards, the,
yeah,
kind of worm,
yeah,
farm that,
so that,
work.
So they're two great questions. If you're going away, you can, the worms are incredibly resilient. They will survive without food for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we recommend is that you layer up lots of wet newspaper. You can also use, look, anything that's not going to rot and smell. So also some people put in a, you know, like a big pumpkin, cut it in half and put it in upside down and they'll slowly chew away at the pumpkin. I even heard about a woman who put her yellow pages in there and she went away for 3 months. So she soaked it in a bucket and put
wet
that in there and it was all gone when she got back.
So how do you keep them cool though? What happens if it's hot?
Yeah, well, that's an issue. So on the western side of the house, it's going to get hotter in summer and we're going into summer. And that can be a real problem. So I'd just check. I don't know how much shade you're getting there, but I'd be checking the temperature on a really hot day and see how hot it gets. And it's really, this is something that we have been working on for a while. The really interesting thing is that you have all these microclimates. So you'll have a worm farm that will overheat in one location and then you'll have another worm farm on the same day in a heat wave that's absolutely fine. So there's a lot of variables there, but certainly, I mean, I wouldn't be putting it on the west side if it's got a brick wall or something that's going to soak up heat.
Yeah. probably asking for trouble.
Yep.
Next caller is Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you going?
Hi, Stephen.
Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you for letting me talk. Look, I've bought a property that hadn't been lived in for since 1995, and it's had this annual process of getting overgrown, getting slashed, getting overgrown, getting slashed, and now everywhere I dig, I've got a shovel full of worms on the whole block. It's an 1,800 square metre block of land in rural Victoria.
Wow, that is fantastic.
And I want to know what I can do to best preserve what I have there.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I just missed that.
I wanted to know what I could do to best preserve that quality of soil. The soil is beautiful, black, rich, very sticky, and I want to try and break that up a little bit. But it's just the volume of worms in this and on this block is astounding, and I really want to preserve it because I want good grass, good gardens, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it sounds like you've hit the jackpot there. If there's been lots of the key to this is organic matter, right? The worms are there because of all that growth that's happened over a period of years, and it's been slashed. So that material, when it's slashed, that's the worm food. As it breaks down, the worms are eating that, and all the other biology. So you build up this fantastic soil profile that's nice and black and full of, and that sort of sticky substance that is because of the worm activity. So they create this fantastic binding. The mucus that they use when they're tunnelling, it's actually really sticky, so it helps bind all the organic matter so you don't get leaching.
Mm.
And look, you're doing everything right. I wouldn't be going in. Another thing to think about is no-till farming or gardening where you we practice this at our with the gardens that we set up where no dig gardening. So when you know we have this sort of compulsion to dig the soil up and you've got to turn it over, and what you're doing when you're doing that is you're actually destroying a lot of the soil food web that's there of all the fungi and the bacteria that are built up and the worms as well. You don't actually if you've got good friable soil that's nice and porous, like which you have because you've got the worms in it, you don't really need to dig it up. The only time you would dig up your soil if it's compacted and it's gone sort of sour. So I'd just keep going. Congratulations, you've got great soil.
Interestingly enough, I've got a lovely set of text messages pretty much all saying the same thing. What are they saying this in response to, though? Run your food scraps through the blender.
Oh.
Geraldine bar mixes her leftover veggie scraps. What's that for?
Yes,
I think that
was in response to Rebecca, who was asking about chopping the food up.
Oh, so, right, yeah. Okay, that's good. Lots of also Dawn wants to give. Was it Rebecca about the farm?
About chopping up the potatoes and things.
No, it wasn't Rebecca. Whoever rang about the farm with the poor paddock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Dawn said for the property with the poor paddock, plant green manure and plough in while young, e.g. peas, barley, mustard, etc.
Right,
what does that mean?
Yes, well, that would be a green manure crop, yeah. So basically grow whatever you can, and particularly those crops that are high in nitrogen, and then plough it in. So you're getting that organic matter into the soil. That's the key.
Alex, your turn. Alex, hello. You're on.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Hi, Alex.
Hi there. I transferred my worms from the worm farm into a compost heap, and they work really well. So I end up with this really rich compost that's full of worms. But when I take the compost out of the compost heap to put in the garden, I spend a lot of time extracting the worms and putting them back in the compost heap. Mm. I want to know whether I'm better off just leaving the worms in the compost when I put it in the garden, or do I spend the time taking the worms out and putting them back in the compost heap?
Well, the answer to that is if you can create the favourable conditions in your garden soil for those worms to survive, you don't need to separate them because they will keep ticking away in the soil there. The problem with the compost worms is that they do need worms that you've got in your compost bin and in a worm farm, they do need high, very nutrient-rich bedding or material, and it needs to be nice and moist. So if you haven't got those conditions in your garden, don't put your worms in there. So you're better off separating them.
Thank you. Do you want to smash through the last few calls?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do that. Sarah, your turn to talk. Hello,
Sarah. Hello, how are you both?
Yes, we're good, thanks.
That's lovely. I have an indoor worm farm, which is about like 40 centimetres by 40 centimetres in quite a kind of coolish part of the house.
Yeah.
And I do chop the food, maybe not as small, but sometimes I get like little flies, not even flies, like a flea size thing.
Yes.
That,
yeah.
What's like, that? And then sometimes the food looks a bit mouldy, and I put newspaper in, but I haven't wetted it before because I'm wondering if they're too wet, and I'm getting castings at the bottom, but I keep thinking I should get liquid in some form, but
yeah,
I'm not.
So, yep, you're doing the right thing. Paper's very important. Get it nice and wet when you put it in there. Those little flies are probably vinegar flies or fruit flies.
Yes, yeah.
And they're coming in generally. They're on the skin of some of the fruit that you're putting in, particularly banana skins apparently have those little bugs in them.
Okay.
So what you can do is if you want to wash the peels, but I don't really worry about that. What I do is I have a worm blanket or cover the top of the worm farm
blanket
in very thick paper so that the flies can't breed in there.
Okay. Because I did have a Hessian thing on there once, and then that kind of, just a thick bit of paper would be fine as well.
Yeah, just cover it so they can't lay their eggs in there.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Yvonne, you're next. Hello to you.
Hi, and good morning. Oh, I do love this worm business.
Good on you.
Another thing for Rebecca, depending on how big her property is that she wants, also CSIRO, dung beetles.
Dung beetles.
They carry on from where the worms do in the metropolitan gardens, and they do the same sort of thing. But my question is, I'm worried about, now that I'm off property and into a little backyard worm farm, is the moisture level. I'm concerned that I get it too moist. I do put then a layer of dry oak leaves on. But how do you judge what is the correct moisture level within your worm?
Yes, that's a good question. Yeah. So about 80% moist. So you can do the squeeze test. We pick up a handful of the bedding or castings, give it a squeeze, and it's like a wet sponge. So you get a few drops of water coming out of it. But having said that, the worms will actually handle very wet conditions, and I would err on the wetter side rather than the drier side, because they just can't eat it if it's too dry.
Right. Could I just ask one quick question?
Yes, sure. Please.
My worms never sort of get very fat. There's lots of them and they're long, but they don't get fat.
Not chubby. Do you need chubby worms?
Yeah. Well,
they need to be like their owner.
They don't actually. They actually don't aren't necessarily too fat. So, but if you want to put some, you can put some oat bran, and there's other various things, fattening recipes you can find on the internet. I don't think we've got time to go through it now, but have a look on the internet for a fattening recipe.
Recipe for worms. Yeah. Ken, your turn.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
I incorporate horse manure in the compost.
Fantastic.
And that generates quite a lot of worms. More recently, I've been adding chicken manure from a poultry farm that raises day-old chicks, and it seems to be reducing the number of worms in there. Could there be antibiotics in that chicken food that's causing the problem and reducing the worm growth in the compost?
It's probably more likely the ammonia coming off the chicken poo. So chicken poo is notoriously high in nitrogen, and when it breaks down, it releases ammonium, which is absolutely toxic to worms. So that's probably your issue.
Horse.
So you want to age that chicken manure for a long time.
Aged
chicken manure. So there's no smell. You can smell that bleachy ammonia smell. That's really toxic. Yeah, so that's probably your issue.
Thank you for your call. We're just trying to whip through these last few ones. And Richard is next. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Ed, do worms eat eggshells?
Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah, eggshells are fantastic because they've got magnesium and calcium in them, which is really good for the whole system. And if you crush them up, you don't need to use the worm farm conditioner. So it's really good grit for the worms. So they're like a chicken. They've got a gullet where they grind the food up. So very good stuff. And it also detracts flies and snails and things too. Yeah.
You've done a brilliant session, Richard.
No worries.
It's good, isn't
it? I love
Eco?
It. Yeah, it's great.
It's our new show. Richard Thomas has been your guest from wormlovers.com. You've all given us a fabulous series of calls. Amanda 154 says, my husband says our worms are the best fed in Victoria. They're going berserk. Excellente. And thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much, Libby.